Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the 343 Podcast, where we work tirelessly to elevate the level of discourse and practitionership here in American soccer. Today, Benny surprised me with a new set of topics, and they were centered around MLS Next's new initiatives. Yes, that's right. MLS, the monopoly, has launched four new initiatives for its youth league, which it's trying to monopolize, obviously, youth soccer as well as professional soccer. The four initiatives at a high level go something like this. There's a scholarship initiative where some of the clubs have to offer some scholarships to players, you know, thereby presumably reducing the pay-to-play pressures. Initiative number two is the so-called extension of the professional player pathway. Initiative number three is the launch of some sort of talent ID thing. And then initiative number four is a playing time requirement. Yes, that's right, folks. In a what is presumably a competitive circuit, there is a playing time requirement. So we're going to cover all four of these. Again, Benny surprised me with the topic, so you're going to hear the off-the-cuff responses from me, which, even if they weren't off-the-cuff, they're always unvarnished and super truthful, super authentic. You don't get me trying to please anybody here. Straight, unvarnished truth from decades worth of experience in the American soccer ecosystem. Speaking of which, you can take advantage and benefit from the decades-long experience here at 343 that we have in the American soccer ecosystem, where we did pioneering work at the youth level, revolutionary work, in fact, at the youth level, by going to 343coaching.com. So for coaches, you go to 343coaching.com. There is coaching education for you there. There is free and premium programs. Please don't wait. It's the start of the fall season. Even if you've already started, get on a proven path, people. Get on a proven path. Stop winging it. I mean, there's benefits to winging it. And if you like winging it and you're one of those types of people, have at it. But I'm telling you, eventually, if you're really good, you're going to converge to the solution that we already have for you. So go to 343coaching.com and get started right away. And parents, you can benefit as well. For the benefit of your kids, you need to be a great mentor and a great coach one way or another to them. For you, you go to 343masterclass.com. And if you happen to be coaching in the 7-versus-7 environment, you go to 7v7coaching.com. All right, I hope you enjoyed this unvarnished episode regarding MLS's four new initiatives for its youth league. Here we go.
Well, I think, Gary, today let's talk about some current events that have been happening. Maybe at the end, if there's time, I don't think there will be, but I wanted to chat a little bit about set pieces and free kicks and the way you go about training them, but we might not get to that today. There's a lot going on. Why don't we start with, as I'm sure you've seen, as I'm sure everybody's seen, there's these new changes or initiatives that MLS Next is implementing. So they just released it maybe 2 days ago, 3 days ago. There's about four new initiatives that they're launching. Okay. The first one. So that, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts on these because I don't know, to me, they just seem shocking, bro. The first one is the introduction of a scholarship initiative, which requires every club in MLS Next to issue a minimum of one scholarship equivalent per season. So when I first saw that, Gary, I kind of thought it was like a typo or like, no, this can't be right. The fact that they're only required to give one scholarship, you know, I would think that it's maybe four or five per club, but that's what it seems, dude, one scholarship. And I was doing a little research as to, you know, if you're not in an MLS academy, what are the costs to play MLS Next? And I've seen ranges from $4,000 to $10,000. So obviously majority of people cannot afford that. So I think there's a lot of kids that are missing out. And personally, I don't think the league requiring one scholarship is going to do jack shit for anybody. Is it going to help one kid? Yeah, maybe. But at the end, they're like, oh, this initiative is going to provide funding for thousands of players. Or maybe I think they said hundreds of players. So I want to get your thoughts on that, the cost, this new scholarship initiative that they're launching.
There's a million thoughts that race through my mind. First and foremost, everybody should know that I have not read any of this stuff online, any of these initiatives. So I'm hearing it for the first time from you. So here are my reactions. Number one, the most important one of them all, is no business should be forced to operate a particular way. So this rule should not exist. If I'm a club anywhere in the country, I should be able to conduct my business however I want to conduct my business. Okay. And I should not have some central authority, some central planner, obviously a term that has some of its origins from communism, making up rules and saying, all of you must comply with these rules or else. That's tyranny, Benny. Okay. So it's utterly wrong what is happening here. No surprise, because this is MLS. They have a monopoly and they say, you either do what we tell you to do or you're out. But it's unacceptable, Benny. It's unacceptable. Another thought I had is many of these youth clubs that are operating at like the MLS next level or ECNL level in those leagues, their teams already have some sort of program that offers at least one of their kids, I'm almost certain, a high percentage of these clubs, I don't know if it's 90%, 95% or 100%, are already offering at least one full ride to some kid on their team. Because if they don't do that, Ben, you're not competitive. You are going to get your clock cleaned, okay, in competition if you're not out there trying to recruit the best players. And the best players usually have some leverage to say, I'm not paying. Or more likely, and people don't like to hear this, they come from a particular demographic, wink, wink, like the Latino American, Mexican American demographic, if you're on the boys' side, okay, that are just better players. They're better because they've been playing with their dads, their uncles, their brothers, getting beat up in pickup games since they were 3 years of age. So they're just better players. So they go out and get those kids and offer them full rides to get them on their team. So this is already happening. So this is not an initiative, right? It should be more called like a dictatorial rule or a mandate that is going to advance the number of players, good players in the league or in the competitive circuit. So the whole thing is horseshit, and it's all for perception purposes. For them to be able to tell the public, oh, look, we're trying to help the pay-to-play situation, you know, by doing this sort of thing. Nonsense, Ben. Let me see if I can come up with some other thoughts here. The scale thing is very important, which you kind of tangentially touched on. Even if none of these youth clubs were offering a free ride to anyone, which is not true, how many players are truly impacted? Not that many. How many clubs are on MLS Next? I don't know. 100? I don't have that number. But we're talking about absolute microscopic peanuts of players benefiting. And I'm saying this if there were players, no players already benefiting, but there already are, Ben. My other thought is more on the conspiratorial side, but it's not conspiratorial because I have personal experience with this. And I have people calling me and texting me and messaging me from across the country telling me that this next thing I'm going to say is happening. Sometimes they invent rules to get rid of people that they don't like or they don't want. So maybe there are clubs or some clubs out there that they want out of the league. And they're like, oh, let's just start making up rules that they need to comply with. And we know that they either can't or won't comply with. And we'll get rid of them that way. Oh, you're in violation of our rule. Get out. Oh, another thought. How are they going to enforce this? Is MLS going to go and write an email or send out a form to every club that participated and says, okay, you must tell us how many players are on scholarship, who are those players, and show us financial records that this is actually true? Because how else are you going to verify whether Joe Blow FC in Wisconsin is, you know, scholarshiping a player? You actually have to see the financial records somehow to actually verify that. So it's all perception. It's all smoke and mirrors, Ben.
Yeah. This now MLS will have complete financial access to all the books and everything like that. It's conspiracy.
Bro, it's just incentives. It's just, this is how tyranny works, Ben. You make up rules. You're a central planner, you make up rules and mandate everybody obey your rules and tell the people it's for the greater good.
Yeah, 100%. And correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, but I think 100% of MLS academies, they don't charge their players, right? So this is really only for the outsider clubs of the league that have to implement this new rule, right? And so in some ways, it kind of puts the other teams that aren't part of the MLS franchise at a disadvantage, right? Because, I mean, can a club afford to pay one scholarship? Probably, you know, but still it seems like they're always putting in hurdles and hoops for these outside clubs to jump through, bro.
Yeah. And they shouldn't be putting any hurdles or hoops. Should be a free market.
100%.
All right. Let me chime in on how promotion relegation solves this entire problem in one shot without any rules or anything. If you have an open market, Benny, an open ecosystem, every club that is in MLS Next does not want to get relegated out of MLS Next. So you have to improve your teams. How do you improve your teams? You improve your teams by spotting the talent, nurturing that talent. And the best way to spot and recruit and acquire said talent is you don't have the pay-to-play hurdle imposed on your team. So if I don't want to get relegated out of MLS Next for my particular team in a particular age group, me as a club, I'm going to find every which way possible to fully finance the particular team, because other teams will do it. And if I'm pay to play, I'm not getting the best players, I'm going to get relegated. That's how you solve the problem.
Yeah. I feel like promotion relegation is going to come up a lot in this episode, because all of these initiatives could be solved by, you know, one simple solution.
Benny, it's communism versus free market capitalism. And we know, forget soccer, we know globally that the best operating system for the advancement of civilization, for the advancement of humanity altogether, is free market capitalism. It's not communism. Communism kills millions of people and it declines civilization, declines progress. It destroys humanity. So this is what we're dealing with in the country. So go ahead with the next communist initiative.
All right. The extension of the pro player pathway. Well, MLS clubs will extend the pro player pathway beginning in 2025-2026 season. MLS clubs will now, and they say MLS clubs, that's not me here, MLS clubs will now have an option to include a third age group, U15, in the pro player pathway, with each of those teams playing up an age group in the competition. So it says MLS Academy's U15 teams will play in the U16s and so forth. The extension of the pro player pathway in MLS Academy's playing up an age group will create more meaningful competition for both MLS clubs and MLS Next Elite Academies. Gary, if every MLS franchise is playing up a year, then that means nobody's playing up, bro. They're all playing the same age. That makes sense?
I'm a little confused with this one, I admit. So what are the current age brackets?
So for the for what they call the pro player pathway, so it starts at now they're adding in U15, but before it was U16, U17, U18, and U19. And so now they're saying that an MLS franchise can add an age group, which would be the U15s, into the pro player pathway. And at that point, they're having them play a year up, or basically
So they'll have two teams. The MLS franchise will have two teams in that U16 competition. They'll have a U15 team and a U16 team playing at the U16 level. Do I understand that?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay, well, who gives a fuck? I don't know what you want me to say. Just who gives a fuck? Oh,
yeah.
Again, more perception shit. Like, we're expanding the pro player pathway. Shut the fuck up. You ain't expanding shit. You wanted to have another team competing in the U16 age group. And okay, you made a rule so that you can do that. You're in control. You have the monopoly. You just made up a rule so that you can do that for yourselves. Congratulations. Right. Could the non-MLS franchises do the same? Could they enter a U15 team or no?
It doesn't say. It only says MLS clubs will now have an option to include a third age group. So
okay, again, there you go. They wanted something to do something, and they just made up a rule, and now they can do it.
All right, wait to hear this Sunday. This sounds funny. Launch of Talent ID Weekend. For the first time in program history, MLS Next will hold a Talent ID Weekend dedicated to providing more scouting opportunities for players competing within or outside MLS Next. The weekend of October 11th will not feature any games and will be known as MLS Next Talent ID Weekend. So basically, if I'm hearing this correctly, they're going to bring in all the MLS Next clubs that aren't part of MLS academies and try and recruit them. And so basically you're fucking over the other clubs.
100%.
Not to mention the players that are already locked into the MLS franchises.
Yeah, 100%. Hey, we're going to make up a weekend. Everybody who's not already within our monopoly, you need to send us your best players or whatever. We're going to funnel all your teams over here, and we're going to take a look and see what players we can steal from you and make it easier on ourselves. Because since there's no promotion relegation, these scouting departments are razor thin. They don't want to spend money on scouting. So what do they do instead? They bring everybody to themselves, and then you can all be at the same field and just take a look over a weekend and then make some decisions. Instead of what real scouting is all across the world, is people are building out scouting departments, so, and they have to go out into the ecosystem to find the jewels. Nah, you bring the jewels to us because we're in control. We're the monopoly. We're the communists. We have total control over everything. You bring us your best stuff, and we'll just steal it from you.
It's funny, at the end of the paragraph, Gary, it says, there is no cost for players to participate in these events.
Okay. No, they have to spin it so it sounds good. And everybody who doesn't have an inkling of an idea of what's actually going on, they're like, oh my God, look at all the things that they're doing. This is great. The future is bright. American soccer, woohoo!
Yeah, Gary, I could see it where clubs that aren't within MLS franchises, like let's say you're Rebels. I don't know if Rebels is in MLS Next, but why would you even want to send your kids to these talent ID weekends? Basically, you're going to have your top three players on your roster jacked and have to start from scratch again. And now when you're competing, against your best three players when you go and play FC Dallas, bro.
Ben, because they have tricked the entire public, they've tricked the entire ecosystem to say the following phrase, right? They've tricked everybody. Oh, but if you're one of these youth clubs, don't you want your best players to move on to bigger and better things? You should want, as a good person, to say, hey, Kansas City, a franchise of MLS, I have like a super crack phenom. You should take him from me. That they've convinced everybody that this is what everybody who's not MLS should be doing.
Yeah, Gary, and if other clubs were allowed or enabled to have first teams, these types of weekends would never happen, bro. You know?
No, because it's like, fuck you, Kansas City. This is our pride asset. We're going to develop him for our first team. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm not going to send him to you, you stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy the stuff that they're allowed to get away with. And the people that actually fall for it and are going to be sending their kids to these events, bro. We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah. The public just doesn't know, Benny. Look, what happens is the fucking tyrants, the dictators, create these rules, these initiatives to further consolidate power. They create the narrative so that the public can swallow it and thinking it's honey. Okay. And then they deploy those narratives through their media Muppets, who are just propagandists for the league. That's what they are. They're basically Goebbels, you know, if we want to talk about World War II, Nazi, all that sort of stuff. And they craft prose to distribute it to the entire ecosystem, to the public, and the public swallows it thinking it's a pill made of honey.
Yeah. Gary, when you say the public doesn't know or the public is unaware, do you think even the practitioners operating in this ecosystem, like let's say you're a coach of an MLS Next team and you're not part of an MLS franchise, right? You're just a small club that somehow made it into MLS Next League. Do you think these coaches and DOCs and club administrators are also unaware and they see this and they're like, oh, wow, this is a great opportunity? Or do they kind of have a better understanding of like, no, fuck this. Why would I send my kids there?
The practitioners, I think, always have a better understanding than non-practitioners. Number one, general rule of thumb. it's now a function of, well, they're on a spectrum, right? So some practitioners are completely oblivious and some are totally too keyed in and understand what's going on. And it depends, I also think, on what information they themselves consume and have consumed over years. Number two, it depends on how cutting edge are they and how good are they at the craft? Because if you're exceptional, an exceptional practitioner, you're crushing it, right? And you get somebody in here, first off, you're going to have good material if you're crushing it. And then the probability that you get stolen from increases significantly. So the probability that you get afflicted by the tyranny goes skyrockets, and then it'll actually happen to you, maybe not just once, maybe twice or three times. And then you are forced to then realize what this, the scam that this all is. Okay. But if you're not exceptional of a practitioner, you're doing mediocre work, less than mediocre work, the probability that you're going to get stolen from, or you're going to feel jacked, or the realization that there's a glass ceiling above you that you can't break, right? Because you're not even the best in your class, right? So you're not even at the glass ceiling. You don't realize that there is a glass ceiling then. And you don't realize that people are getting stolen from. You don't realize that your opportunity, freedom, and is being compromised. You don't know. And if you're on the low end of the practitioner curve, you're probably completely clueless, like the general public, Ben. So I think a lot of it depends on how good you actually are at the craft.
Yeah. And I think the more time you invest in it, the more passionate you are, the more research you're going to do about everything that's going on behind the scenes. And the more time that you spend within the ecosystem, I think your eyes start to open up more to the politics of it and the tyranny, the communism, as you like to say. But I think, maybe new clubs coming in or new coaches, when they first join the league, they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We're part of MLS. Next, our players now have opportunities to become pros. But I think as time goes on, you start to become more aware.
Not to mention, Benny, if you're mediocre or less than mediocre as a practitioner, you, in my sincere opinion, you're intrinsically aware that you're not good and you are not among the best, and that your potential pathway to the higher levels of the hierarchy is to play politics, and it is to basically brown nose the monopoly and kiss the ring of the monopoly. And so they're not necessarily opposed to the moves of the monopoly because they want to be viewed by the monopoly as a yes man. And so maybe one day a gatekeeper will say, hey, this guy has been a loyal servant of ours. Maybe we'll bring him in to coach at an MLS academy itself, you know, instead of a non-MLS academy, because he will do exactly as he's told. But an exceptional practitioner, they can't put up with that stuff, Benny. You can't. Because you're compromising the art at that point. And then you won't be an exceptional practitioner if you compromise your art.
Yeah. All right, Gary, I saved the best one for last.
Oh, boy.
New playing time requirements for younger age groups, optimizing player development. Okay. As part of its continued commitment to elevating player development, MLS Next has modified its game structure at the U13 age group. Matches will now consist of 3 periods of 25 minutes instead of 2 35-minute halves. As part of this change, each player on the game day roster must play at least 1 uninterrupted 25-minute period, with exceptions such as injuries. The goal of this initiative is to ensure that players receive an optimal experience that furthers their development. MLS Next is removing obstacles to enhance playing time while supporting coaches through less restrictive substitution rules.
Okay. What was it? Episode number 394, 393 that we did, where everybody got all upset that I called everything recreational in American soccer. Okay. Proof, another proof, positive piece of evidence for you all to chew on. It is rec through and through. This is rec soccer. This is AYSO. First off, going back to our first little comment, Nobody should be imposing on a business how they should operate their business. Oh, but Gary, MLS Next is a league and it's a business and they get to do. Yeah, I understand that. Okay. But now you're just imposing random rules. You've changing the rules from its inception. You're just changing it all up and dictating that you must play your players. The fuck? The fuck is this? You're AYSO, Benny. This is AYSO. This is not competitive sport. If you want to tell me, hey, let's do this for the 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds or something like that, maybe I can swallow it a little bit. Maybe I can swallow it. But we're talking about U13 at this point. What are we doing? This is retarded, absolutely retarded. And so obviously this is going to impact score lines too.
Mm-hmm.
Massively impact score lines. And guess what? Now all the MLS franchises, which by force basically have the better players in the entire youth league, the probability of them winning all their games more so than they used to goes skyrocketing, because by imposing this, you must play every player at least one third of the game. Well, the shittiest MLS franchise players are way better than the shittiest, you know, non-MLS franchise MLS Next players. So it's just more bias and unfairness and skew towards MLS's benefit.
Yeah. No, imagine, Gary, I don't know if they do playoffs or whatever, but imagine you need to win to get into the playoffs, right? It's the third period. Now they're doing periods. And you still haven't played your most shocking player. And this guy has to go in. It's 1-1. You're fucked, bro. You're fucked. Like you said, the worst guys at any MLS academy are probably better than your bottom half of your roster, and you're screwed, bro. I can imagine like the coach is now starting the worst players. So at the end of the game, they just get in their best guys.
Start the worst players and cross your fingers, you know, do the sign of the cross, and hopefully the score doesn't get run up too much. Oh, Gary, Benny, it shouldn't be about winning at all costs and stuff. Bitch, what do you think fucking runs this whole operation? You either win or there's a coup against the coach. You either win or players leave the club to go to another club. And those are the incentives of the system, ladies and gentlemen, because there's no promotion relegation because MLS holds a monopoly. Those are the incentives. Winning, quote unquote, at all costs exists because there is no promotion relegation at the pro level. How many times do we have to repeat this? Hundreds and thousands more times, Benny, until it actually sinks in. Every episode, this needs to be rammed down people's throats because they don't get it. They're like, oh, the coach just wants to win for his own ego. No, fuckface. The coach has to win, needs to win. His livelihood is on the line if he doesn't win sufficiently. That is the reality. It's not for his own ego. Oh, the clubs only want to win because then you blah, 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 blah. No, motherfucker. They have to win. The system forces you to have to win.
Yeah. And Gary, think about what it's going to do for the kids in terms of their development. And like, imagine you're a 12-year-old kid and you know for sure, no matter what, that you're going to play an entire period. Now, you can fuck off at training. You can not have a good mentality. You can be dicking around, and guess what? You're still going to play. And I bet you, Gary, like the parents that are actually paying for this league, meaning that they're not in an MLS franchise academy, they probably love this, because now it's like
100%.
Oh, guaranteed my son's going to play. I'm all for it.
100%. And that's the primary demographic for MLS. It's that demographic right there. The recreational demographic is the one that they cater to.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the end of this next season, Gary, for the U13 age bracket. I did look it up. MLS academies do have a U13 team. So I have a feeling, like you said, the top 10 teams are going to be all MLS academies, bro.
Well, do they keep standings? Because we've been such pussies the last 7, 8 years where there was this whole narrative, this whole tidal wave of, we shouldn't keep scores at the youth levels. We shouldn't keep standings at the youth levels.
Yeah.
Do they have tables? Do they have standings at U13?
Guessing they do. They have to, bro. Let's see. I have to find out.
Meanwhile, you have, I don't know if you saw that. I don't know if you saw that ex post that I made of Tab Ramos in an interview talking about how in Uruguay, because obviously he's from Uruguay, you know, they have baby football. And at age 7 years of age, 8 years of age, the youth games are absolute savage warfare with all the parents on the sidelines going bananas, you know, in the, as part of the warfare, as part of the spectacle.
You know, if you think about the way sort of soccer operates in the U.S., where, you know, we talk about, you know, not being too competitive too early and being careful with being focused on results too early. Okay. You know, in Uruguay, you're literally playing derbies against a team across the road that you have to win already at 7 and 8 years old. I mean, these are games you have to win because the fields are packed with parents all the way around who want to win the game. So my recollection is how tough it was to play the games at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
That is why they develop savages, okay? And we develop little, I don't know, pussies.
Yeah, I think they do have standings theory. Anyways, Sean Cooper. I was doing a little, you know, just research on some of your thoughts on the whole, like, MLS academies and, like, blogs that you've written in the past. And one that really stood out to me was the fact that, I think this was back in 2016, when you said that MLS academies at the youth age, they don't get enough quality competition, meaning that they're only playing domestic-based teams, and that's not a good measuring stick of the international quality of standard. Do you think that has changed at all? Because it seems like these, like, I don't really ever see MLS academies traveling overseas to play international opponents. Maybe it's like they're playing a team from Mexico, but are they ever going to Europe and playing these teams? Like, I think this, it seems like the DA and MLS Next are kind of the same, where it's just US-based teams and they don't really get the chance to go out and compete anywhere else because they're playing kind of a year-round schedule. So do you think it's the same, Gary, or what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to again tout the work of Brian and honestly, you know, the academy slash club that he helped a lot at, which was FC Barcelona USA here in Southern California. The owner operator there, his name is Paul Walker. The club has obviously had a rebrand to TFA, or Total Football Academy. But you mentioned 2016 when I wrote this article about MLS not having sufficient international competition. Well, guess what? Brian and Paul kind of pioneered that path too, where they would finance and go overseas and play in MIC Cup when nobody even knew what MIC Cup, the Mediterranean International Cup, way back in the day. They were pioneers in that respect. And that's where Brian's teams, you know, played Ajax and played FC Barcelona itself, right? During the golden era of La Masia. And we published those games and kind of showcased to the American soccer ecosystem, hey, this is what should be happening a lot more. And then MLS came around and started doing a little bit more of that, because then when Brian went to Chivas USA at the youth levels, the academy, they also went and traveled overseas to do the same thing that was started at Barcelona USA. And nowadays, yes, there's a lot more international competition that's happening for the MLS academy teams than there was back then, Benny. But I think also the teams come here versus the MLS teams going overseas. It still happens, don't get me wrong, but they'll hold like Generation Adidas Cup and these sorts of tournaments a couple times a year, and they'll invite and fly in, you know, Frankfurt, you know, or Chelsea or Manchester United, and they'll get some exposure to it. Should they have more? I don't know. I think, again, the ultimate remedy is having an open meritocratic system here, because your domestic competition is going to increase and go through the roof if the system were open for the things that we just described in our first segment, which was all these non-MLS youth clubs, because of the threat of relegation, all of a sudden will be greatly incentivized to scholarship their entire teams. And that means their entire teams are going to get massively upgraded from a talent perspective. And the coaching will get massively upgraded as well, because you need the best coaches that you can find or the best coaches that you can develop so that you don't get relegated out of MLS next. You want to stay in there, right? You want to stay in the top competition. So it's going to be a dog eat dog world. And guess who's the ultimate beneficiary on the sporting side? The MLS academies. They'll get better domestic competition. But MLS doesn't care about the sporting side, Benny. They don't care. They care about the consolidation of all power, the consolidation of all power at the pro level. And now these are all initiatives to further consolidate all power at the youth level.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Gary, because this is a common topic and debate that I see on a lot of the social media platforms is, let's say you had a son, Gary, MLS next or ECNL or neither. Where would you friend them?
Okay, so first off, it depends on geography. Where are you, geographically speaking? Because access to these things depends on that. My gut instinct is, and also depends on age, because if I have a very, very young kid or a young kid, the thing that I would probably care most about is the quality of the coaching at that point. Because you can always challenge your son if they're very good, by putting them on an older team, older age group, but under the mentorship of a really good coach. Then once you get to the higher age groups, Benny, I don't know, U14 or something of that nature, then you need to start getting a little bit of being platformed a little bit, unfortunately, because we have a monopolistic system, right? To be scouted or to be platformed, you have to kind of participate in this monopoly. I would probably be most inclined to put them on an MLS next team that is non-MLS, okay? Because once you go to an MLS team, now they start owning you. And this goes into the whole training compensation topic. So if your player ever is good enough to be a professional player, you are basically owned without ever signing a contract. You're basically owned by MLS. Because if you want to go overseas, there is now a price tag, hefty price tag on you for MLS to release you, dictated by FIFA. Okay. And that price tag could range anywhere from $60,000 to $500,000, depending on how long you were in the MLS franchise itself. No team in the world is going to pay $300K or $400K or $500K for your youth kid unless somehow you are a super outlier where you are already, I don't know, considered a blue chip global prospect, Benny. Where maybe you played a U20 World Cup or U17 World Cup and you crushed it at that level. Crushed it. It's your only escape valve, potentially. And then MLS will still make your life impossible and miserable, even if you're that outlier. So that's my gut instinct, Benny. I would go the MLS next route instead of ECNL, but at a non-MLS team.
Gary, what if you're a parent or what if you're a player and your parents can't afford it? Because, you know, we talked in the beginning of the episode, maybe a team only has one scholarship to offer, right? And an MLS academy sees you and, hey, they're pulling out the red carpet for you. They're going to give you everything. If a player does, yeah, in fact, go to an MLS academy, they're successful there, they do well. Is there an escape route that can basically, can they find a way to believe, or you know what I mean? Or are they basically stuck and now owned by MLS?
You're in big trouble, Ben. Well, first off, it's a good point that you bring up. Like, what if I can't afford it? Then you're left with no choice but to go to an MLS club because they'll pay for it. So again, it's because there's no promotion relegation at the youth level. If there was promotion relegation at the youth level, all of these non-MLS teams, clubs would be strongly incentivized to have 5, 6, 7, 10, a full team, fully funded, fully scholarshiped. And I wouldn't have that problem on my hands because I would just go to one of those teams and it would be a better team because it would have even better talent because they're scholarshiping everybody. So it's just another way to fuck everybody, Benny. So I'd be screwed. I'd have to go to an MLS team. And then is there an escape valve? I just painted one picture of an escape valve. My kid better be a super crack phenom and globally recognized, like hard, like big time. another potential alternative is, as soon as you can, leave and maybe go to a USL team and play, get pro minutes, you know, at the USL level. Hopefully you're good enough at 16, 17 to do that. Maybe play a couple years there. And then maybe you have like the Diego Luna story, where he goes to El Paso Locomotive, plays a couple years at the USL level, does very well, and then goes to Real Salt Lake. But it's just such an outlier case, not because Diego Luna is some amazing player. Not really, okay? It's just an outlier case that all the puzzle pieces has to fall perfectly in place for you. The universe has to bless you for you to actually escape the issue. And by the way, Diego Luna is not free. He hasn't escaped, really. Like, if your dream is to go and play at the highest levels in the world, that's not MLS. So we'll see if he's ever granted his wish, if he has that wish, to go overseas. Because MLS has the power to say yes or no to him.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, Gary, is to me, it seems like Jose Gallegos, right? He came from USL as well. I feel like he was maybe better than Diego Luna, if not on the, not equal, right? But the fact that because Diego Luna like signed with an MLS team and then he got platformed to the national team, now he, like, everybody knows him, right? Versus where Gallegos goes to Europe and he's grinding it out and getting better, but now he's kind of like an unknown, you know what I mean? So that's, it seems like the path to get recognition and to get platform is to basically be owned by MLS, right? Do you think Gallegos is better than Diego Luna?
So it's hard to know.
They're kind of similar players.
It's hard to know. And the problem is, Benny, everybody's susceptible to this, is survivorship bias. Okay. So you know Diego Luna because of all the things I just described. It just, all the stars aligned for him.
Right.
How many players went the MLS path and don't exist? So every other player that's not Diego Luna doesn't exist.
Yeah.
All of them who went the MLS path, they don't exist, Benny. They're done. Either riding the bench, getting sparse minutes here or there, or have already fallen out of MLS and are playing USL or USL League One or whatever. They don't exist. But nobody talks about the players that, the 99% that also don't exist. So it's not a right comparison to say, hey, here's Jose Gallegos' path and here's Diego Luna's path. Oh, if Jose Gallegos had just went to MLS, he would be Diego Luna. And if Diego Luna went the Gallegos' path, then Diego Luna would be invisible overseas. It's a logical fallacy to do that.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, to me, they kind of seem like similar players, no?
There's a lot of commonalities. I agree.
Anyways, I wanted to chat on this because I know you.
Ben, a little bit more on this. It doesn't matter if they're carbon copies of one another.
Right.
Like pro soccer, especially here in the US, but globally speaking, there's a lot of it is a randomization of events. It's, did you land a place that has a coach that's like, I like this player profile versus another one? Did you land at a place that imports a lot of players in your position and is constantly looking for that or not? Did you land at a place that says, hey, we're going to make this person a star? Or did you land at a place where they're like, hey, we need this position, but they're not going to be the centerpiece of our entire operation? Like, there's all of this stuff surrounding everything, Ben. Like, this whole Paxton Aaronson thing, coming back to MLS at age 21 or however old he is, and he's going to get millions of dollars, DP. Like, what? What is this? That makes no sense, Ben. It makes no sense. Why would MLS drop millions of dollars, millions, okay, to get this player? Come on, man. It has nothing to do with talent or skill set or none of that stuff, dude.
Yeah, that was actually
You're telling me you want Paxton Aaronson over going to Argentina or Uruguay or fucking anywhere else in the globe and picking up a 21-year-old crack for probably less money. It has nothing to do with that. It's all marketing.
Yeah. No, that was actually the next thing I was going to bring up, Gary. And also I saw, I don't know if this is an interview, but it was like a quote on Instagram of his, and he was basically saying like, yeah, you know, the 2026 World Cup is coming up and I really wanted to be part of an MLS franchise and, you know, get quality minutes to prepare myself for the World Cup. I'm like, oh, what are you talking about, bro? And it was, I think tactical manager posted like, I can assure you, like, no American wants a Colorado Rapids player on the national team. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I always say this, so I'll repeat it again. I never have anything. I have nothing against the players themselves. Never, ever, ever, ever. I have nothing against the players. The problem is the machine behind the players, Benny. And that is what more people need to be investigating and looking into. I didn't care. Look, when MLS is doing the same thing that it did when they brought back Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey and Jozy Altidore, you know, a year before a World Cup. They want to bring home all these guys, right? So that when the World Cup comes around, they can say on their broadcast, oh, look, Clint Dempsey plays for the Seattle Sounders and, you know, Michael Bradley plays for Toronto and Jozy Altidore plays for whoever these guys were playing for. I don't even remember anymore. It's all a marketing ploy, Ben. That is why they bring these players back. Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore, Clint Dempsey, they weren't worth, well, maybe Clint Dempsey, but the other, they weren't worth $6 million salaries or whatever the heck they were, they got when they came back to MLS from a sporting perspective, Benny. From a sporting perspective, give me a break, dude. They paid through the nose so these guys could come back and they could have their marketing opportunities. It's the same thing here.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you can't blame the kid, Gary. I mean, look at what he's being offered. And if you're a 20-year-old kid and you see that amount of money and exposure, it's like, yeah, fuck it. I'm down. Send me home.
I don't blame the kid. I don't blame the kid one bit. I don't blame any other players. And look, I don't know what, I'm not in that circle. I don't know what was promised, but it's entirely possible that they promised an extremely high probability of, you know, making it to the World Cup. And if you make it to the World Cup, you'll be what, 22? I don't even know. And let's say that you play in the World Cup at 22, 23. Is the road back to Europe closed on this kid? Probably not. Because you're still like 22 years old or 23 or whatever it is. And you've kind of proven yourself a little in Europe, you know, playing in the Dutch first division, being on loan from Frankfurt, that you can actually do something, maybe, maybe. The problem is what we discussed last time, and it was with respect to Diego Luna as well and all these other guys, that you have golden handcuffs on now. So I don't know what his salary is going to be. It'll come out at some point when the players union publishes it. But if you're making solid seven figures, it's very difficult to get the same or higher salary in Europe unless you're big time and playing for big time clubs. It's very unlikely. So you might have golden handcuffs and you might decide, nah, I'm never going back to Europe because I'm making more money here and I have a chill lifestyle. Early retirement. Early AYSO recreational retirement, but getting paid a lot of money.
Yeah, and Gary, why would he? I mean, if his ultimate goal is to go to the World Cup and make the national team and he has the opportunity to do that here, I mean, it's just this type of, or this generation, bro, they always want the easy route, bro. So why not be at home, close to friends, making money, chilling, basically on vacation mode the entire MLS season versus grinding it out and being somewhat invisible in Europe, bro. But Gary, it seems like no matter what, MLS always wins. Like they bring a player back. MLS is the hero. Oh, look at, we're bringing this guy. They sell a player to Europe or they transfer a player. And wow, look at the development of MLS players. Like the narrative is always them winning, bro. It's never them doing any wrong.
But Ben, I mean, Kim Jong-un of North Korea always wins too. Always wins. Because if anybody says that it's bad or whatever has happened is bad, guess what? That person goes missing. You know, Xi Jinping always wins in China, always wins. China wins no matter what. They're the winner. Because guess what? If you're like Jack Ma and you know, you founded and started Alibaba and you think that you can go a little rogue and not obey the the Communist Chinese Party, well, then guess what? You go missing too. So no, that this is how it works, Ben. So yeah, of course. If you're an MLS reporter or quote unquote so-called journalist or somebody who aspires to be in that circle, guess what? You're going to write the right things so that MLS wins. Because if you don't, guess what? You're no longer working here, buddy. And guess what? You no longer have access. And guess what? Oh, you had aspirations of getting into a press conference. You had aspirations of being, you know, buddy-buddy with the platform. Well, kiss those aspirations goodbye. So yeah, all the stories are all going to be painted in a good light. It's only true independents like yours truly that are actually out there trying to say, hey, everybody, can we please wake up a little bit? Can we wake up that we're in, you know, North Korea here when it comes to soccer? Anybody?
Yeah, Gary, you posted a screenshot of the press conference from when Paxton Harrison was coming back. And what did you say on the tweet? It was purely political answer, zero street talk. The number one priority and obsession above all else in MLS is public perception. And narrative control. What was being, because I haven't seen the press conference, but what was being said?
Yeah, I tuned in and I heard just a couple things for like a minute. And then I couldn't tolerate it anymore. I tuned away. So let me tell you what I heard in that 1 or 2 minutes. First, I think they asked Paxton, I don't even know what they asked Paxton, like, what? Hey, there's some sort of perception out there, you know, that kind of like throwing in the towel a little too early and you come back to MLS sort of thing. And he's like, no, you know, it's a very hard decision, obviously. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I felt very loved here, you know, family is obviously a very important thing. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, okay? But it was all, he was giving all these reasons and rationale, except the real one, which is, I'm getting paid, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like that is the real fucking reason. That is the real thing. Because if Colorado told him, hey, we're going to pay you $200K a year, $300, he's coming home, Benny. You know, it's, I'm getting paid 7 figures, ka-ching. But of course he's not going to say that. So that's obviously not being a straight shooter, telling the truth. I don't blame the kid. It's good media training. You know, I would tell every player, don't say that you came to pick up the bags, right? And then they panned over to the head coach, Chris Armas. Oh yeah, that's the other thing that Paxton said. Oh, and you know, I get to work and play for, you know, coach here, and like throwing him flowers, right? Then they pan over Chris Armas and he's like, yeah, well, look, I don't blame anybody for having their opinions or thinking and stuff, but you know, you look at a situation where, you know, our league has the greatest of all time coming here to play. So it doesn't really make all that much sense that if the greatest of all time can come here and play and think this is the right move, correct move, like, for somebody like Paxton to make it, just doesn't make any sense that there would be any criticism. Again, kind of paraphrasing, but I would think that everybody knows that what a bullshit nonsense answer that is.
Yeah. No, you would think people know that, but, you know, majority of the public might hear that and they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that's a valid point. Messi's here in this league. You know, we must be pretty good.
Or it's good for you, or it's good for your career, or it's good for sporting reasons, or all this stuff. Come on, man. But this is the MLS demographic. Their primary target customer is the customer who will believe all this nonsense. That is the primary customer. That is the target.
Yeah. Will MLS ever be a top five league, Gary, if there's promotion relegation? Top five in the world.
If there's promotion relegation?
Sport. Yeah.
Benny, if there's promotion relegation, it is really quickly, it would be the best league in the world. The best. The absolute best. Really? No question. Because we have the best soccer market in the world. We have the most money in the world. We have everything. Everything is better here, Benny. All of it. And with promotion relegation, all of a sudden, the franchises are not franchises, right? They're actual clubs, right? Independent entities that get to open up their pocketbooks as much as they want. It becomes a ferocious competition monetarily, economically, and obviously from the sporting perspective, because like we described at the youth level, every single club is now incentivized to not get relegated. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to spend like mother effers. And when you spend like mother effers, you're going to get the best players in the world really quickly. And you're not going to hire your buddy over here who's a yes man to coach the team. And your buddy over here, your buddy's over here to be part of the scouting department. Or your buddy's over here to kind of be the GM or the sporting director or all that sort of stuff. No. We can't have a buddy system anymore. We need the best, because there's consequences if we don't get the best across our entire organization. Benny, it would explode. We'd be the best in the world. By far. Everybody would be depleted. Real Madrid would start sucking our balls. 100%, Benny. No, I'm not kidding, dude. I'm not kidding. We have too much power, too many resources, too much money, and the world-class infrastructure and world-class fucking sports enthusiasts beyond the soccer hardcores. This would be the place to be. And everybody in the world wants to be in America, Ben. If you're a Spaniard, if you're a Frenchman, if you're a Russian, if you're an Englishman, if you're like, you name it, if you're Portuguese, if you're Brazilian, Argentinian, everybody wants to come to America, live in America, be part of America. If not for themselves, for their kids, they all want to come here, Ben. That's really one of the big attractions as to why you're able to get these retiring players sunsetting their careers, like a Messi, like a Son at LAFC, like a just all these guys, historically speaking, the DPs, like a Titi Henry, like a Rafa Marquez, you name it, Roy Keane. It's like, hey, I'm going to get paid big time because they have a lot of money in America. And I'm in America. So to answer your question, we'd be number one in the world pretty quickly. I don't know how long it would take, maybe 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, but fast, number one in the world. And our second division would be, you know how the English Championship is considered among the best leagues in the world also, right? Top 10 league in the world is the second division of England. Our second division would be probably the second best league in the world, Benny.
Yeah. Can you imagine, Gary, like Galaxy winning the MLS Cup last year and now this year last place? Like that's like Madrid winning La Liga and then the next year they're in last place. Like, bro, there would be murder in the streets of Madrid, bro. But here it's like, no problem, dude. No problem.
Fired up here. If there's promotion relegation, the Galaxy would never find itself in this position to begin with.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wonder who would become like the giants of the league. Because you look at all the other leagues in the world, like Premier League, you have the giants like Liverpool, Man City, Man United, right? La Liga, Barcelona, Madrid, Villarreal, like who would become the giants of MLS that no chance of ever getting relegated, bro? Like, can you ever see a Man City get relegated to the championship? Like, no fucking way, dude. You know what I mean?
Like who?
Like, for example, in the Premier League, Man City, like, are they ever getting fucking relegated? I don't think we'll ever see it in our lifetime, bro. You know what I mean?
It depends. So, like, it depends. Yeah.
Now, who would become that in the U.S.?
I don't know. It depends on who the owner of the club is. I don't think it depends as much as people think on geography. Like, L.A. and New York are the big metropolitan areas, so those are always going to be the powerhouses. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't think that's necessarily true.
Would the MLS now be allowed into Champions League? That'd be fucking sick. Imagine.
I think that the Champions League would start becoming even more irrelevant because the best competition in the world would be the American First Division, like by far. Because the shittiest team in the American First Division would be better than Real Madrid or Barcelona or all these teams.
Yeah.
Hey, Benny, because Real Madrid would not have Mbappe. They wouldn't have gotten Mastantuono. They wouldn't have Vinny Jr. They wouldn't have, like, these players, they'd be here in the United States.
No, dude, all this is sounding nice, bro. You know how when you're having a dream and fucking everything's perfect and everything's going great and all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, fuck, dude. That's how I feel right now talking about all this stuff, dude. It sounds fucking amazing, bro.
This is what open ecosystems do. But we don't have an open ecosystem here. And it's a great comparison of, again, communism versus free market capitalism. The rest of the world in soccer has like a free market capitalism thing going on. And in the United States, we have a North Korea thing going on. Have you ever seen those satellite images when they fly over the Korean Peninsula and South Korea has all the lights on and it's dark, right? Has all the lights on. North Korea is completely dark. There's no lights, no lighting. That's what we have going on here with soccer, Ben. The lights are out. And for anybody who might be thinking in their head, because you're so goddamn brainwashed and programmed by all the superficial narratives that we finished covering, whoever's thinking, oh, then why wouldn't the owners of MLS do this if it was true that this whole beautiful picture would manifest itself and come to life? Because you lose monopoly power. You lose monopoly power and you lose equity in a lot of sense. The appreciation of your asset is not as much, because if you as an owner are now kind of incentivized or kind of forced so that you don't get relegated to spend every year like Man City does or like PSG does or like all those other teams do, if you have to do that, then your margins go down and you're probably operating at a significantly larger loss than you currently are. So even if your asset appreciates stratospherically, let's say, you know how they say LAFC is like worth $1 billion now or something like that. So even if it was open and LAFC becomes a $5 billion asset value or $3 billion asset value or something, okay, you've appreciated that much more, but you're also spending that much more and you're in a ruthless competition versus the alternative, which is just doing nothing and basically sitting on your ass and letting your asset appreciate without having to work.
Yeah. No, dude, I wanted to see if there was actually like a North Korean pro soccer league, and just like Google search, it says it has governmental ties. Clubs in the league are often linked to government sectors like the military, state railways, and social security. Secrecy. Information about the league, including details on top scorers, player records, and specific rules, is kept secret and rarely released to the public. Bro, that I'm going to do more research on it, because I bet you there's a lot of similarities, bro, to MLS.
No, man, it just takes a long while. I've spoken about this in the past as to how long it took me to start realizing what's going on. Just so long, Benny.
Yeah.
I mean, decades. And you have to have a lot of experiences and life experiences and experiences within the domain and outside of the domain that is soccer, Ben.
Yeah. Nah, dude, I'm barely opening my eyes to a lot of this stuff, bro. You know, and when I first started with you and recording with Brian, like, I was so ignorant, bro, as to what was actually going on. And I'm just thinking, like, oh shit, like, fucking Brian's genius in soccer. You know the entire landscape. We're pushing this out there, but I didn't realize all the problems that were going on, bro. That's been cool to open my eyes as well.
Cool, man. Cool. And I'm very fortunate that you're here poking the bear a little bit. Yeah. Because otherwise it doesn't come out the way it comes out when I talk to you.
I always wait till the end to trigger you.
Well, you got me going pretty early on this one.
Yeah, that's true. I'm interested to see the comments on this one. I need to do more research on the one about the initiative about the teams playing up, because it's kind of confusing the way that they're selling it, but I don't know. It, to me, my initial thought was like, if every MLS academy is playing up an age year, then basically you're just playing opponents at the same age as you, right? If FC Dallas U17s are playing U18s against Austin FC, U17s are playing U18s, you're basically just playing fucking U17.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. It does make sense. Yeah. So yeah, interesting.
I don't know. Maybe it's not like that. Maybe it's only the MLS team play up years. I don't know. I'm sure our viewers will chime in and comment.
Sure. on the superficial stuff. Like I consider all that stuff superficial stuff.
All right, dude. Good stuff. I'm gonna go check on the future MLS next non-academy player. My son.
No, mames. I think, you know, with any luck, by the time your boy grows up to where this matters, things have changed significantly, Benny.
Yeah.
Or soccer is completely irrelevant at that point, and everything has moved completely away from live sports or something like that, and that makes my life better because I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's like, okay, fuck them. It all went downhill. It's irrelevant, and I can just focus on, you know, getting to Mars or something like that.
No, dude, it's crazy that you say the championship is the top 10 league in the world. So now if MLS becomes top league in the world, then USL would now be a top 10 league in the world, which is crazy. But
massive, because those clubs in USL will be going bananas to get to the first division, Ben. Bananas, because it's open. So it's going to be absolute crazy warfare there. Massive spending.
Can't wait, bro. Hopefully it's not the future you described where it's bots playing each other on the field.
Well, I'd rather have that than freaking soccer North Korea. I'll tell you that much. Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. A reminder for coaches. You can get both the free and premium coaching programs at 343coaching.com. Don't let anyone tell you your teams can't win by playing dominant possession-based football while also developing individual players to the highest levels. Nonsense. We've proved it at every single level, and so have hundreds of serious member coaches across the country. Now that we've moved on to the pro level, we're delivering everything we've learned in the program. Don't wait and continue delaying getting on a proven path. And parents, 343masterclass.com is where you want to go to get a working compass for navigating the American soccer landscape with your player. It's pretty bad out there, but let our experience guide you. Lastly, if you're coaching 7v7, we've got you covered there as well. Go to 7v7coaching.com. Until next time, cheers everyone, and keep building.